Thank you, thank you. Please be seated. Good morning. First, I want to thank Reverend McCabe, of course, for the privilege of sharing the word with you this morning, and it's going to be a great day. It is a great day. I'm always amazed at the manifestations that God gives to us at that particular moment. I mean, it's all about love. It was all about love. It was all about his provision. And today, what I'd like to share with you is something that's been on my heart for these last couple of weeks, and it's called the walk in love. So it's right in tune, right in step with what God has already spoken to us this morning. And I want to start in Deuteronomy. If we take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Deuteronomy. And we're going to start in chapter 6. It's always been God's heart since the very beginning to love people, to have a people that he could love and provide for, and for them to love him in return. And when the children of Israel were coming out of that house of bondage in Egypt, and they were on their way to the promised land, finally, after wandering for 40 years in the wilderness, we come to this great section in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy where God states his way and what he has in his desire for his people. This section is called the Shema. The Shema is something that is taught even today in Jewish homes. It is something that they're taught at a very young age. It is something that they grow up with. It's a way of life. It's a part of who they are. And God has not changed. And those of God's people still today can maintain this concept of what God desires for his people. So let's look here in verse 4 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your home, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them on, as a sign on your hand, and they shall be on the frontlets of your head. You shall write them on the doorposts of your home and on your gates. This is the command for each other, to love the Lord, and the responsibility not only to love the Lord, but to serve and teach others also. It wasn't enough that you should just love the Lord your God and keep his commandments, but that we are to teach and share this love and share this idea of having God in your life and God providing for you is the second half. It's not enough just to love the Lord, but to serve and to communicate that love, to communicate what God's heart is for you, and it's wrapped up in his provision. It's been this way since the beginning. When God created man, he put him in the garden, right? We read about this in Genesis chapter 2. His heart and his mind was all about providing for his people. They didn't need anything. God took care of it all. It says that it was very good. They didn't even have clothing. They didn't even need clothing. No such thing as dry cleaning. Today we have dry cleaning because we have to cover ourselves. But back then, God covered everything. His heart was to love and to provide for his people. It's always been this way. And here we are in this great section. They're coming into the promised land. And God says the first thing is to love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to share that love and that provision to others. Look also in chapter 10, a couple of pages over. Two fundamental things, love and service, with this command. And in chapter 10, look at verse 12 with me. "Now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require for you? But to fear, to reverence, respect the Lord your God, to what? Walk in all his ways and love him, and serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the Lord's commandments and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. Behold, verse 14, the Lord your God the Lord your God above heaven and heavens above, the earth and all that is in it. Yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affection to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, even you, above all the peoples this day. So God desire again to love and to provide for his people. Look at chapter 11 in verse 13. It shall come about, if you listen, obey to my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that he will give the rain for your land in the season, and the early and late rain, that you may gather in your grain and your new wine and your oil. So here again, we see for the third time, obedience to God, love your God, serve him. To walk in this love is to keep and do the commandments. And in verse 14 and 15, it says that he will provide. The benefit of living this life, the benefit to you is that God will provide. The Lord will provide and take care of his people. It's a great promise. Look at verse 15. He will give grass in your field for the cattle, and you will eat and be what? Satisfied, it says. You will be satisfied. There are so many people today in this world walking around unsatisfied, never having enough, never having, you know, fulfillment in their life. There's just so much unsatisfaction in the world because God is not present in their life. The idea of God, God's presence is not there. Therefore, satisfaction is not available. Only God can satisfy and fill and take care, but it's on his terms. It's not on your terms or my terms. We must learn to walk in this love, looking to help and serve others. And in doing those two things, we can not only be satisfied, but we help others to be satisfied as well and to walk in that great deliverance. Look in Matthew, please. We're going to fast forward a couple of thousand years. Matthew chapter 22. Look at what the Lord Jesus Christ says about this love that we are to have. Ever since the beginning, God has always desired a relationship with his people, to love them and to provide for them. It's what God is about, and it's what you and I have the blessing to be a part of. And in Matthew chapter 22, we're going to start in verse 34, where it says, "But when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees," which we're not surprised, "they gathered themselves together, and one of them was a lawyer, asking him a question, testing him, saying, 'Teacher, which is the great law and the commandment?' And he said to him, 'You shall what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" Hasn't changed since Deuteronomy times to now to the Lord Jesus Christ. To love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor as yourself. To the extent that you love God, to the extent that you put yourself in his presence by keeping his word, keeping his commands, will be the degree that you can love others. And that's what's supposed to be done. That is our responsibility, to love God first, put him first in our lives, and service to others. It was the command back in the Old Testament. It was the command right here when the lawyer asked him these questions. It hasn't changed. It had not changed. We're to walk, love, and serve. And in order to be effective in our service to others, it must be out of love and on godly terms, based on the scripture. Look a little bit forward now in Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 4, please, with me. Ephesians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul's writing to the people at Ephesus, and in verse 1, therefore, he says, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling wherewith you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in what? Love. It still is a walk of love. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit, verse 3, in a bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and what? In you all. We have been called to love. The call is to love. To love God, to love our neighbor as ourselves, and this love relationship that we are to have with our Heavenly Father is the most important thing that you or I can ever venture in our lifetime. Before anything else, having this relationship with our Heavenly Father, which is generated and cultivated by understanding the Scripture, understanding our responsibility, understanding what God's heart for humanity is to love God. That's what it is to love God, to love Him on His terms, and then serve. Serve others. This is the whole point of the love relationship, is so that we can help others. The ministry of reconciliation, the word of reconciliation, is all about love. Bringing this to others, helping them to understand and have a relationship with the Father that is now available because of what Christ has accomplished, and you have been called, and I have been called to bring this to others. And that's a great calling when you think about it. It's really a great calling. Look at the Gospel of John, please. Go back a couple of books. Gospel of John, chapter 13. With this calling comes responsibility. And in John chapter 13, we're going to look here at verse 34. A new commandment I give to you. What was the old commandment? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now we have a new commandment. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have what? Loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. What is this new love? How is this new love different than the love that we've been reading about in Deuteronomy? The difference now is Holy Spirit. The new commandment that I give to you is to love how? As I have loved. How did Jesus Christ love? He always did what? The Father's will. I do nothing of my own initiative, but that which what? The Father tells me that I do. This is the new love. It's built on Holy Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is to walk in love. This is exactly what Jesus Christ is talking about here. This is the new commandment. This is the new order of things. This is the new revelation that hadn't been available until the Lord Jesus Christ came, gave his life, rose again, Pentecost. Now you and I can operate and manifest this new love, which is only generated by the walk of the Spirit. Because you and I can go and minister to people right at that particular moment, what is needed at that particular moment. It's not a formula. It's a walk. And to walk this way is to walk in love. This is the new commandment. That's exciting because it's never the same. Every day it changes. It's always new. There's always something that we can give. There's always something that we can cultivate in this love relationship. It's the most important thing. It's the point of it all. The point of the whole relationship of love is to serve others on His terms by the walk of the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is to walk in love. It's really exciting when you look at it. The new commandment is only available as we walk by the Spirit, which is the walk of love. Verse 35, a disciple, a disciplined one, right? Out of the walk of love by the Spirit, this is how people will know that you are His disciples. Why? Because you walk the way He walked. This is how Jesus Christ did it. The works that I do, you shall do what? Also, and what? Greater what? How were these works accomplished? By this walk of the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is to walk in love. We can't say it enough. This is what we are to be. This is who we are. These are the men and women you and I have got, that God has called us out to be. Look at 1 John, please. Go way toward the back. 1 John, the epistle of 1 John, chapter 2. First John chapter 2. Verse 7. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous just as what? He is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, and the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose to destroy the works of the devil. I'm in chapter 3, sorry. Right book, wrong chapter. Chapter 2, verse 7. Sorry about that. Beloved, I am writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment, I'm not writing a new commandment, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard, which we read about in Deuteronomy. That was the old commandment. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The new commandment is to walk in the Spirit, is the walk of love. The one who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But the one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And the blindness comes as a result of not pursuing this walk of love, is not pursuing this walk by the Spirit, this new commandment which you and I have that Jesus Christ came to make available. This is the new walk of love, the new commandment. Look in chapter 5, same book, chapter 5. Make sure I get there. Chapter 5, verse 1. Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Messiah is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves the child born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and the commandments are not burdensome. Our desire, our heart to walk with God and to keep His word and to keep His commandments will become evident to us as it is revealed to us by the walk of the Spirit. God will tell you and show us what is needed and what has to be accomplished at that particular moment, because we seek to love Him and do His will. It's a great walk of love. Go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. This love relationship begins by keeping the commandments and loving God and in seeking to serve others. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but who? The Father's who sent me. This great, great, great section here, again, just solidifies the importance of walking with the Father, listening to the Father, and being instructed because of this revelation that you and I can receive by serving others and walking in the Spirit. It is the walk of love. We have this ability to do that the way Christ did that. It's a lot bigger than just loving God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. That was great, but this new commandment is really what it's all about. It's all about the ministry of reconciling men and women back to God. We have the ability now to join God in this effort of reconciling men and women back to Him. And it can only be done and is only possible as we desire to walk by the Spirit. To walk by the Spirit is to walk in love. This is the new commandment. This is real exciting. It's real personal. It's not something that is just, you know, read out of a book. It's something that you experience. It's something that you live each and every day. And as you go out with a heart's desire to help others, this is the calling that we've been called to do. God will show us what needs to be done. But it is a walk of love, and it is a walk of the Spirit. Look at chapter 21 of John. Gospel of John, chapter 21. In verse 1, it says, after these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said, yeah, we're going with you. And they went out, got into the boat that night, and they caught what? Nothing. Just as kind of like the beginning of the ministry, and here it is at the end, like a bookend. Think about this as we're reading it. But when the day was now breaking, I guess they were out there a while, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, children, did you catch any fish? They answered, nah, nothing. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find the catch. So they cast the net, and they hauled, and they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for the work, and threw himself into the sea. But when the other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far off from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you caught. And Simon Peter went up, drew the net full of fish, about 153, and although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them the very famous words, come and dine. None of the disciples ventured to question him who he was. Knowing that it was the Lord, and Jesus came, took bread, gave it to them, and the fish likewise. And this is now the third time that Jesus was manifesting himself after he was raised from the dead. This was not a comfortable meal. This was not a comfortable situation for the disciples, especially Peter. Remember, Jesus had said, everyone is going to leave me. You're all going to be scattered, running to your houses, and I'm going to be left alone. But yet I'm not alone because why? The Father is with me. You think Peter may have been thinking about the denial, how he denied the Lord? This was not a comfortable meal. But yet, they stood there, and they sat down, and the Lord had prepared for them a meal. Verse 14 again, it was now the third time that Jesus manifested himself. Verse 15 says, so when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, Jonas, do you love me more than these? He said to them, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to them, what? Feed my lamb. You love me? Feed the lambs. Verse 16, he said to him a second time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you really love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, shepherd my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Three times the question of love comes up. And three times, what's the response? Feed my sheep. Put yourself in that position. Do you love the Lord? Do you really love the Lord? Yep. What is the answer? Serve. Feed. Serve. It's not changed. It's not changed since the days of Deuteronomy. We are to love God and to serve others. It's what we've been called to do, like we read about in Ephesians. It's just something that we have so much ability to do. It's a requirement. To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and then love others. And we have such an advantage because of the relationship that you and I now have because of Holy Spirit. It's the new commandment. It's to walk the way Christ walked. It's the works that he did. And greater works are coming our way if we choose to love and feed. Love and serve. It's a twofold action. It's a responsibility that we have before our God. It was the point of sending the Messiah. Jesus said, it's better for you that I go. Why? Because if I don't go, I can't send the helper. We have the helper. We have that counselor. We have everything it takes to join God in the effort of reconciling people back to him. God just wants to love. He wants to love people and have them love him in return. And if you love me, Peter, feed the sheep. You love him, John? You love him? Feed the sheep. Look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. Something to think about, isn't it? It's not changed. The story, the intent, what God wants, it's not changed. He just wants to love and be loved. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forth unto what lies ahead. I said before, it wasn't a comfortable meal for Peter. If Peter stayed in that situation and thought about all the denial, he wouldn't have been able to do what was done in Acts 2. What's holding you back? Sin? Guilt? Past failure? Are you going to press on? Are we going to dwell on that? Remember, love is an action. It's an active situation. And we must act. Press on, it says, right? Verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, have this attitude. What attitude? Of pressing on. And if anything be different, God will reveal that to you also. And how is God going to reveal that to you? Through the walk of the Spirit, which is to walk in love. The love relationship that we ought to have with our Father requires action, requires movement, and God will reveal to you what is necessary and what needs to be done, whatever the situation might be, because that's how Jesus Christ lived. That's how he lived. That's how he loved. And that's how you and I ought to love and live, this walk of love. And of course, no teaching on love would not be complete without going to 1 Corinthians. So I want to close with this section. In light of everything that we've talked about and looked at this morning, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We have this new love. We have this new motivation. It's called the Spirit of God. Without the Spirit of God, it's Old Testament. With the new commandment, it's all generated with the Spirit of God in our lives. If, verse 1, I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. This love that we're talking about is activated by the walk of the Spirit. Without that walk of the Spirit, without that walk of love, it don't mean anything. If there's a gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but do not have this activated love in my life, I am what? Nothing. And if I give all the possessions to feed the poor, and if I suffer my body to be burned, do not have this activated love of the Spirit in my life, it profits me what? Nothing. It's a new commandment. It's a new commandment. This new commandment of love is patient. It's kind. It's not jealous. It doesn't brag. It's not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It does not take into account a wrong sufferer. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. This love, this activated love that you and I are walking by the walk of the Spirit, never fails. How did Jesus have the answers that he needed to have at the particular moment when he sat down and doodled on the ground and when he stood up and what did he say? Let him. How did these answers happen? How did these revelations come about? Because it's the walk of the Spirit. It's God in Christ in you telling you what needs to be done at that particular moment. That's the new commandment. That's the walk of love. That's the walk of the Spirit. They're all tied together. It's activated as you act. Look at this. Verse 8, it never fails, but if there are gifts of prophecies, they'll be done away with. If any tongues, it'll cease. Any knowledge is going to vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I put away these childish things. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I have been fully known. And now abides faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is what? Love. The greatest of these is this love, this walk of love, this walk of the Spirit. It's what you and I have been called to do. We are prepared. Christ has taken care of everything. The road has been paved. It's just a matter of acting and moving forward, living this love relationship that God has called you and I to live. He paid a dear price for it. And if you love me, feed my sheep, right? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this great and wonderful calling that you've called us to. That we have the ability to have a love relationship with you, to hear from you, and to know, Father, what needs to be done at that particular moment because of that Spirit. And because of the great love that you have, not only for us, but for all humanity. We ask, Father, that you continue to give us the eyes to see, the ears to hear, and a heart to live this great life, Father, that you've called us to live. You know our frame, Father. You know that we're dust, that we're weak. But with you and with your love, Father, and your direction and guidance in our life by the great Spirit that you've given us, we can overcome And we can be the men and women that you've desired to be from the very beginning, that we can love you, Father, and you can love us in return. There is nothing greater. So I ask, Father, as we go out this week, that you help us. Help us to recognize this love. Help us to recognize the need that you are so willing to fill in everyone's life, Father. We ask you to help us and to guide us and to walk this way. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. 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 God bless. Thank you.